What advice do you have for pet owners who are considering starting an elimination diet?
Our dogs are, I feel like, really, really suffering today with a lot of internal issues that people don't see going on.
It seems like the elimination diet is the true, like, one way to know for a fact, like, boom, that's one of the red flag foods, if you will.
A lot of veterinarians just patching, you know, Band-aids on these symptoms. How do we get these symptoms to go away?
You leave with something that might relieve some of the symptoms with that issue, but you have to go back for a whole new thing now that you probably didn't have before.
Do you think it also has to do with the quality?
Kibble is inherently inflammatory. The bulk of the nutrition is coming in synthetic form. Working with somebody one-on-one, I think you're going to have a lot less pitfalls.
That's one of my biggest, I would say, complaints of the current pet industry is how complicated it seems to have a pet now. Welcome to the BK Petcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Kinsey, and we created this podcast to help you enrich and extend the lives of your dogs and cats.
And today, we're joined by Jessica Fisher. Jessica is a holistic pet health coach, certified professional canine nutritionist, and positive reinforcement dog trainer.
She works with the whole dog to help pet parents get the most out of their relationship with their pets.
She's also the host of the Pet Parenting Reset podcast and co-host of the Pet Health Junkies podcast.
Welcome to the Petcast, Jessica Fisher.
So, Jessica, first of all, thank you so much for being on today. Every guest we have, it's very much a delight for us because somebody that's willing to come on and offer, you know, their expertise for free, I think there's something to be said about that. So we really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm with you guys. Like, let's give all the best information out for free. Please.
I love it. I'm so here for it.
Yeah.
So for our audience that doesn't know you, can you give a little bit of background as to who you are and kind of how you got into the pet space that you're in?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've always been in the pet space and I feel like I'm not in the pet space. It's so weird. I actually started in my early 20s doing TNR for cats. So I've really been like in the pet world for a really long time, but I guess my transition into what I like the healthy pet space really happened closer to 10 years ago. I started a YouTube channel and somebody, I wish I could find this comment. Somebody literally said to me, I was doing a lot of work, volunteer work with rescues. And she was like, I think she was being really sarcastic and kind of a smart But was like, why don't you do something to keep dogs out of shelters? And that changed my life. That one comment from some random stranger changed my life. And I was like, yes, that is exactly what I need to be doing. So I became a dog trainer and went down that rabbit hole and started feeding my own dogs fresh food. I saw the dramatic changes in my dogs. It's just been like a snowball ever since. I am obsessed with canine nutrition and feline nutrition, really. I just find cats so much harder, and everybody, all of my cat people, every time I say that, are like, they cringe. They're like, how can you say that? Cats are so much harder than dogs.
I agree.
We've heard people say like, oh, I got a cat because they're easier than dogs. We're like, what?
We're like, you got a half domesticated animal. This one's at least fully domesticated.
Right? So now I am, I'm a positive reinforcement dog trainer, which I don't do a whole lot of anymore. And then I am a certified holistic pet health coach and a certified professional canine nutritionist. And I am a lifelong student. So like giving my credentials sounds so like cringe to me. I'm like, I'm a student.
I love that. A lifelong learner. Oh, that's what we've said too. It's like, there's the common saying, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's
absolutely.
Like, we don't even claim to be experts because we're absolute babies in this world. You know,
yeah.
I think the experts we save for the Dr. Judy's and the Dr. Ruth's of the world.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah. So the topic of today is elimination diets. So before we actually get started with that, can you just quickly explain what an elimination diet is and kind of the purpose that it serves?
So sadly, I think far more dogs today need this than we know need this. But the society we live in today, we're in this like fast, hurry, convenient kind of lifestyle. Our dogs are, I feel like, really, really suffering today with a lot of internal issues that people don't see going on. And a lot of food intolerances are creeping up. I mean, I feel like they've just like, boom, out of nowhere. We're just seeing tons of food intolerances. And so the idea of an elimination diet is to kind of wipe the slate clean and say, okay, what is my dog sensitive to today? What can I feed them to eat and, you know, to thrive? Meanwhile, let's allow the body to do what it does best and heal itself. And then we can get into the reintroduction part. But the elimination part is removing everything that an animal is sensitive to. And there are a few different methods to do that. Of course, we can get into that as well. There's some really like brute force. We can take months and months and months to figure all of this out. We can use some testing to kind of help us out along the way. But really the elimination part is just, let's get everything out of the body that the body is saying no to.
Totally. Well, and like there's a growing popularity, and I know you know this, of these like gut tests and allergy tests and stuff. And a lot of these are really fantastic products, but it seems like people we talk to, yourself included, it seems like the elimination diet is the true like one way to know for a fact, like, oh, if I take all the stuff out and reintroduce one food and my dog reacts to it, then you know, like, boom, that's one of the red flag foods, if you will.
Yes. And we can talk more about the tests if you want. I look at all of the testing. I don't care if it's a blood test or a saliva test, whatever it is, I take all of it with a grain of salt, because that dog's body is the ultimate like yes or no. It's gonna tell you.
So before we get into some of that testing, what are some symptoms of that someone would notice, like, maybe my dog is having has a need for an elimination diet?
Yeah, that's kind of where it's a little trickier, because some of the initial symptoms that people are going to see, it's a lot of GI distress. So when you take your dog into the veterinarian because they're throwing up, because they have diarrhea, because maybe, and most people probably wouldn't take their dog in just because they are a little gassier than normal. It generally will get to the point by the time somebody takes their dog into the veterinarian, diarrhea, vomiting is chronic. You know, it's not going away. We're not easily relieving these symptoms. We could also potentially see some weight loss, and that really is where some people are going to be rushing into their veterinarian's office. But there are so many other things that cause GI distress that it's really hard for a veterinarian who maybe has 7 minutes with every client, let's be real, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
to say, let's dive in and find out what's causing this GI distress. So there's a lot of band-aids on symptoms happening. And sadly, that, you know, if a dog truly does have what we lovingly refer to as leaky gut or intestinal permeability, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And then we're going to start seeing food sensitivities. We're going to start seeing the skin breaking out. We're going to get a lot of itching. We're going to see red, irritated, chronic ear infections, red, itchy, like paw pads that they just can't stop licking. It's going to eventually, and again, we see a lot of veterinarians just patching, you know, band-aids on these symptoms. How do we get these symptoms to go away without, again, addressing the underlying issue? And then it's just going to snowball and snowball and snowball until we have dogs with autoimmune disorders.
Yeah. We had my mom over yesterday, and she's going through some health issues, and she went to the doctor and, you know, told them about what was going on. And rather than, like you said, addressing that root cause, they're saying, okay, well, take this, but you need to come back in 30 days. And she was like, well, 30 days? What do you mean? She goes, or the doctor said, well, we have to test your liver to make sure that this medicine isn't messing up your liver. So it's like you go in with this issue, you leave with something that might relieve some of the symptoms with that issue, but you have to go back for a whole new thing now that you probably didn't have before. Oh gosh, it's so frustrating. So then let's say a pet parent does feel like they see these classic symptoms. You know, one of our vets talks about the paws, the
classic allergy trifecta is ears, butt, and paws.
Yep. And that's like classic Banks right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. We're like, well, that's why when you were talking about the ears and stuff, I looked at Bryce and the red itchy paws. I'm like, oh, that is what Banks is going through. And this is a side note. So Jessica mentioned that she's a holistic pet health coach. That is the program from Dr. Ruth that you all have heard if you've heard the episodes with Dr. Ruth. And I'm sure I've referred to it multiple times that I am currently going through. So I'm working with Michael, my mentor, to figure out what's going on with him. And we just got his Glacier Peaks back. And of course, it's blueberries and watermelon. And like you said, it's a grain of salt. Like, his body is going to be the one that tells us exactly, like, yes or no. Because we did a 16 plus week of Viva Raw Pure Rabbit.
And for those that don't know, that's literally rabbit lung, I think rabbit liver, and rabbit bone. Like, we're talking four ingredients, but one from an allergy perspective.
Yeah. And so that, like, helped a lot with his yeast.
Yeah. And like the folds of his mouth.
But still, yeah. So.
And that's like, so we went to the vet. This is not really on topic, but that's why we think it's environmental, is because we went through the elimination diet kind of that we're talking about here, and it did clear out some of it, but he's still having other stuff, which leads me to believe that it's not the food he's feeding. But one interesting lesson we've had to learn, which was kind of hard, is that you can't just start feeding higher quality food. Like, that's not enough. And that's so frustrating. But like, you have to specifically heal this leaky gut, like you're talking about, before they can actually absorb and utilize those nutrients that are from this incredible food.
First of all, if I start from the beginning, we're talking about everything on the Glacier Peaks test that is popping, like blueberries, right? What I'm seeing a ton of salmon oil, blueberries, spinach. Those are huge, huge, huge. And I'm seeing them on almost every case right now. And I really attribute that to the fact that, you know, in the pet food world, big pet food especially, is very reactive to the market. And we're seeing some education coming out kind of in the masses about how incredible blueberries are, right? How incredible, you know, dark leafy greens are. We have to have these healthy omegas. So all of these pet food companies, big pet food companies, are adding in these key ingredients so that they can put them on the label and say, look what you're also feeding your dog. Meanwhile, their gut is a mess. So the, you know, cellular structure of these foods that would otherwise be really, really incredible, we're creating sensitivities to. The other really crucial part of the elimination diet is the rotation part. So while, like you were saying, it's absolutely incredible to elevate the food we're feeding to our dog, we also have to rotate, because their gut is not in a place where they're going to be able to accept it well enough to heal. Like, we have to add in this really, really crucial element of rotation so that we are not giving the immune system the time to create these, like, immune responses to everything that is continuing to leak through the gut. That's literally what is happening in these, like, you know, the tight junctures of the gut aren't all that tight anymore. And so all of these particles are coming through. And the body is saying, you are not supposed to be here, and creating these immune responses. So it's not just the elimination. We also have to do the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. This has kind of been something that's been on my mind lately, especially with the very common, like, chicken and beef allergies, because that is the most, like, abundant source of meat that they're putting into big kibbles. Do you think it also has to do with the quality of, like, that is playing into, like, with the blueberries and the spinach too? Like, okay, they know these are buzzwords and this is what people want, but they're still trying to cut corners and get the cheapest, like, I don't know.
Or even the fact of just how it's processed too, I'm wondering. Like, I think the processing along with the sourcing alters how the dogs react to it.
Absolutely. So the higher quality foods, especially proteins, we are going to get a lot more, you know, bioavailable nutrients. And that is, of course, going to come in fresh food form. Mm-hmm. All of the processing, and really just kibble, is inherently inflammatory. So if we are constantly in an inflammatory state in our body, we are not, you know, our cells are not working properly. They're not being able to take in the nutrients properly. Also, just inherently in how kibble is produced, the bulk of the nutrition is coming in synthetic form. And, you know, you have the cells in the body that are trying to take in nutrients, right? From whatever food or food-like substances are entering the body. And when we feed whole foods, they're very, very bioavailable. That's because the cellular structure of whole foods meeting the cellular structure in your body, like they match up really, really well. They fit. When we're feeding synthetic nutrients, they don't, like they fit well enough that they're going to work, but they don't fit perfectly like a whole food source would. And what's really, really sad to me, and one of the things that I really want to put out more to the world and kind of put out on social media a little bit more, is like, yes, we can feed all these wonderful, you know, extra whole foods on top of, say, a kibble, because we know that's quote unquote balanced. But when we feed synthetics with whole foods, if the synthetics are kind of blocking the cells, they're attaching to the cells in the body saying, here you go, here's the nutrition that you're looking for. It's kind of blocking the whole food nutrition. So we get to a certain point where it's like, maybe feed them separately, or get to, you know, especially if we're getting close to that like 50-50 point, can we just transition, please?
Yeah, like, yeah. We talk a lot about the 80-20, but like you said, it's like once you get there, it's like, let's find something cheap to replace the rest of the kibble with, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Woody, you said something the other day where if it was like someone is feeding...
Well, yeah, so we saw a video that I was going to react to. I still should, but it was somebody making basically really incredible homemade dog food. I mean, we're talking the muscle meat, the organ meat, the raw meaty bones, all the different aspects. And then they added it with kibble. Honestly,
like
it was like 25% kibble, 75% fresh food. But we looked at the kibble and it was like all different colors, like all different sorts of dyes in it, which leads me to believe it's probably one of the lower end kibbles. Mm-hmm. But it's like at that point, I would rather you replace the kibble with just rice. And I don't even like rice. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like it doesn't go through that exact same high heat processing and it doesn't have all those synthetics and stuff. Mm-hmm. You could just easily bulk it up with rice, or if I had to choose, more like ground meat or just some extra protein. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. But yeah, I mean, kibble just in and of itself, like it is so pro-inflammation. It's so inflammatory. Even if we only look at like oxidative fats, if we're only looking at the omega-6 to omega-3 ratios, right? Like we're looking at probably at least a 20-1 on, you know, an omega-6 to an omega-3, which is super, super inflammatory. And when the cells of the body are inflamed, they're not working properly. Like our immune system is like constantly like going haywire. Like everything is inflamed, and what do we do, and how do we get rid of this, and how do we calm everything down? So like we're just living in this state of and you know, all I think so much disease is a result of inflammation, this chronic inflammation, which is, I mean, that's just where we're living on a kibble mm-hmm. diet. We just don't have a good foundation in the body to begin with.
Totally. So going back to the kind of the rotation feeding, let's use two different examples. Let's do one person that feeds kibble, but they want to learn how to improve it, but they might not be able to switch to a fresher food. And then somebody that feeds a DIY diet. Can you offer some tips about how both of those groups can start to rotational feed?
Yeah, I think, first of all, for somebody who is feeding a kibble diet, one of the things that I would really love to see is, can we switch to, and I think there's generally two reasons why people are on a kibble diet: one, convenience, and two, cost. And if we can even out the cost in, say, switching from kibble to making a homemade cooked diet, Can we do that first? Would that be something that as a kibble feeder, you would be comfortable with? And to address the convenience part, yeah, okay, kibble is super, super convenient. But if we take one day a week, just maybe an hour to prep, like, can we fit that in? I don't think that's too much to ask for a lot of people. And I just don't, this is probably going to be a really, really super unpopular opinion. I just don't see where we're going to be able to allow the body to heal, allow the gut to heal, if we continue to feed a kibble diet.
Interesting.
I don't, and again, I think that's going to be a really, really unpopular opinion with a lot of people. And if it's what we have to work with, and if that's all we can do and that's all we can manage, okay, let's see what we can do. I don't think you're going to get the results that you want. I think we may have to rely a lot more heavily on pharmaceuticals, which I hate to do. But then again, yes, there are things we can do. We can add in fresh foods. We can do things like I can't tell you how many of my clients I have put on a three to five day raw goat's milk fast before we even start a rotation and elimination diet. That is my favorite thing to do to reset the body, to reset the gut. I love it. Can we at least do that and maybe bring in a higher quality kibble and mix it with some fresh food, or feed fresh food in one meal and then kibble in another meal? Again, I don't think we're going to be able to give the body the environment that it needs to heal itself if we continue to feed kibble. But I will work with you if that's where you're at. We will do the best we can. If you're somebody who's doing a DIY, that's amazing. That's incredible. First of all, we need more variety. We're going to have to look at what the dog is eating, look at the sensitivities, and say, okay, we might have to expand our horizons on where we are sourcing foods from. But we're going to have to pick different food sources. We're going to have to pick different proteins. We're going to have to pick different veggies. We're just going to have to do it. And fortunately, I think we're at a point today where there are enough resources for raw feeders specifically, I'm talking about, where we have availability. Even if I have to go to like a raw feeding Miami or something, like we have more availability, which is wonderful. So yeah, there's plenty of things we can do. Another client I'm currently working with, who they're willing to cook, but they still want the convenience of commercial foods. So we're on a freeze dried. We're doing a freeze dried, and we're rehydrating that freeze dried with high quality bone broth that isn't a sensitivity to the duck. So there are lots of options out there.
In terms of, let's go back to the elimination diet a little bit. If somebody feels like they have those classic symptoms of that might warrant an elimination diet, how should they get started? Like, where can they learn more about it? Or is there just kind of a specific formula out there? Or what's your opinion on that?
I think there's not enough information out there on it. I think if you search, you can find it. I don't think there's a ton of information out there on it to have like a specific XYZ. These are the steps you need to follow. But also, I'm very into individualized plans. I don't want to say the word medicine, but like, I am very into let's work one-on-one with this animal that is in front of us today. And what is going to be best for this animal in front of us today? So finding a roadmap, I think even if you were to find a roadmap online somewhere, I would highly recommend working one-on-one with somebody who has experience in this area to help walk you through it, because I just don't think it's going to be exactly the same for every animal. It is my preference to start with one of those tests that we were talking about at the beginning, because we can kind of cut out a lot of legwork, especially when we're dealing with dogs that are super, they're already in the autoimmune category, or puppies. Oh my goodness. Like, if we can get a good foundation of, okay, this test says I've got these 30, 40 sensitivities, and we can just like, even though we're taking that with a grain of salt, like I said, we can start with that foundation of, okay, let's make this assumption that they can't have any of these foods right now. it gives us a list of where to start on top of that. If you don't want to do the testing, that's totally fine. That is up to you. We're just going to have to kind of manually plug away at this and test one food item at a time. And that can take some time. That can take months.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. I've seen 6, 8, 9 months where we're still doing an elimination because they didn't want to do the testing. And that is what it is. We can work with it. But if we have some sort of test, again, whether that is like a Glacier Peaks or a NutriScan or a blood test through your veterinarian, whatever it may be, there are a bunch of them out there. It gives us somewhere to start and it can cut out a lot of time to help your dog get to feeling better a little bit faster, which is what we want ultimately.
With the elimination diet, is there a certain time where you should start seeing some results? And a follow-up question, how long are elimination diets usually?
First of all, how long before you start seeing results is really going to depend on how bad off your dog is to begin with. So if you're kind of just starting to see like, oh, this is the first time. Okay, yeah, my dog has had some GI upset and this is the first time I'm experiencing this, you know, red, itchy or first or second maybe ear infection kind of thing going on. And you're like, a light bulb is going off because, you know, you're one of those incredible 2.0 pet parents that is looking for more, that is looking for the root cause and you're starting early, we could potentially see some really significant improvements very quickly just by removing everything that we, if we do a test, removing everything that we know they're sensitive to. And that is kind of a double-edged sword in itself because there are some people who are going to see that is, okay, well, now I know what I can feed my dog. And then they just stick them on a diet of that and never want to move forward and do more testing. And that's also not what we want. We want to provide, the whole point of this diet is to provide the body with the environment that it needs to be able to heal itself. So it's not about what can my dog eat, what can my dog not eat. That's an important part for you and me as humans. But more importantly, we need to be very, very aware and very cognizant of the fact that we are creating an environment in the body that is allowing it to do what it needs to do, what it does best. So the more sensitivities, to me, I think the longer the elimination diet is, you know, we're going to progress through. And again, even if we start with a test, I take it all with a grain of salt because I have definitely seen animals who, you know, let's say turkey shows that it's not sensitive, but chicken does. So we try turkey anyway, but then, okay, no, they do. We find out that they are sensitive to turkey. So we're going to, it's all trial and error. And again, the worse the symptoms are in the dog, I think the longer it takes. And if we're, again, starting out with a dog who, you're kind of at the beginning of this process and you think you've caught it pretty early on, we could probably, don't quote me on this, I'm going to knock on wood, see some really, again, you're probably going to see drastic improvements just by removing all the sensitivities from the diet. But within maybe like a 3-6 month time frame, hopefully, if we're also doing other things to help the gut heal, we're going to start seeing some really, really drastic improvements overall in the vitality of your dog. Yeah. So it depends and it depends.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally feel you. And one interesting thing. So, I mean, you know this, Jessica, and we've all learned this. The holistic route is always slower. It always takes a longer time. It's not an immediate thing. And so we've realized that, like, we can't just wait for our dog to feel better. With like even the elimination diet and stuff, there are things to do that can help relieve some of those symptoms that are not antibiotics, steroids and stuff. So literally last night, sitting in bed with a Q-tip and CBD oil, rubbing CBD oil on my dog's asshole. Like just, he's so itchy and I'm trying to, but it's interesting because like there are even natural things we can do to still get some of those more immediate results that might not be addressing the root cause because like, you know, I'm not sitting here saying CBD oil is going to solve leaky gut, but like there are some things that we can do to still make that a little better. Iodine foot soaks, you know, things like that. So I love what you said, though, about like it very much depends, because even in the homemade diet guides that we offer, it's like, this is a foundation. This is not personalized for your dog. This is just to give you that base knowledge so that you can then, like you said, start that trial and error process, because what works for our dogs might not work for yours. And there's no like one size fits all with any of this.
I mean, what works for one of our dogs doesn't work for the other two. And that whatever works for the other two also doesn't work for the other one.
Well, and one thing will work for Harper and not for Cooper. And they're literal siblings, like same exact parents. So even sibling to sibling, there are stark differences in what they need.
Are there any risks or side effects associated with elimination diets that anyone should be worried about or looking out for?
I think if you are working with a professional, if you're working with, say, a veterinary nutritionist or a veterinarian who is very well versed in nutrition, who maybe has the time to work with a client on a rotational, I think most veterinarians, just even if they have the knowledge, don't have the time to work one-on-one with people on rotation and elimination diets. A holistic pet health coach, like I know Kinsey is going to be very, very soon. So working with somebody one-on-one, I think you're going to have a lot less pitfalls. If you were trying to do it on your own and just figure it out based on, you know, Dr. Google, whatever, sure. I can certainly see where, especially if you're doing it the brute force method and you're not balancing for extended periods of time, we could certainly see some detriment in the animal. Puppies especially, like that is, hopefully we never have a puppy that is so bad off that they have leaky gut when they're still a puppy. But in today's world, I feel like it's totally possible. And that is, to me, the scariest part, because we, you know, puppies, we want to be so much more aware of the balance of their meals, especially with things like calcium. And so it can be, I would say, detrimental to an animal if you're not doing it properly. If you're spending like months on end doing an elimination diet without balance, yeah, absolutely, it could be very detrimental. But if you're working with somebody and you know, one-on-one, and you're being very cognizant of, we need to get all these nutrients in your dog, but we also are going to be testing certain things, then there shouldn't be too much of a concern.
It sounds like the general thinking is that elimination diets are okay not being fully balanced for a certain amount of time, but not like extended periods. Is that right?
Yes.
Got it.
Except with puppies.
And can you explain a little bit more of that? Like why puppies have different needs?
Well, they're growing, right? The body is forming and the brain is developing. The bones are all like getting into place where they need to be and connect, you know, the musculoskeletal system is all trying to get together. Organ system, I mean, everything is still forming. Just because, you know, a baby or a puppy comes out of the womb, they're not done baking yet. we have this period of time where everything is still developing, and we, you know, they need, there's so much nutrition that goes into that. Like, we certainly don't want to skimp on omegas, right, for brain development. We certainly don't want to skimp on calcium for bone development. And puppies, I think, and I know, Bryce, you're a nutritionist as well, you know, slightly more elevated levels of so many of protein, of omegas, of bone or calcium. Like they just need more because they are developing. And so if we have extended periods of time in a puppy, even, and when I say extended period of times in a puppy, I'm meaning like a week, a couple of weeks, like that for a puppy.
Not as long
extended.
As you would think. Yeah.
Right. Not at all. So for an adult dog, we can go a little bit longer, but still be cognizant of the fact that there are nutrients that every dog needs over time. You know, you and I, we don't balance our meals, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't think about balancing very much.
Not at all. But so yeah, I'm kind of like, I always go back and forth with, it's really, really simple. We just need to rotate. And oh my gosh, this is so complicated. They need so many nutrients, right? Like it's just so much more delicate for puppies.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest, I would say, complaints of the current pet industry is how complicated it seems to have a pet now. It's like, there are definitely things you have to think about, but we just got to get back to the basics. If we can get back to the basics, we can put that body back in more of a homeostasis state and allow the body to do all the healing rather than trying to find all these different solutions outside of it. So I absolutely love that.
What advice do you have for pet owners who are considering starting an elimination diet?
My biggest advice would be to find a professional that you feel comfortable working with to help you through it. Even if you feel confident in the actual process and maybe even some of the things that your dog is already sensitive to, you're very in tune to your animal. The support, the emotional support that you can get from working with a professional, somebody that knows what they're doing, that has been through this, that can make you feel good, even though you feel like you're failing. Because look, I've been there. I have been on the floor crying. Why am I such a horrible pet parent? Why can't I get this right? Like, that happens. So even if for no other reason, I don't want to blow it out of proportion, because it is not a difficult concept, but putting it into practice can be very emotional. Mm-hmm. And because we love our pets so much, mm-hmm. and we only want the best for them, finding a professional who you are comfortable with, who like you vibe with, who you mesh with, because look, we're not all going to vibe with everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, right? I am not that person. I am not a Dr. Ruth who is like, you're doing wonderful, honey. Whatever you want to do is fine, right? I am the like, sorry, babe, we're not doing it that way. That's okay, because there are more of me out there.
Yeah, totally. So then if somebody's listening to this and they are interested in starting this elimination diet, or maybe just interested in learning more about you, where can they find you yourself along with more coaching and one-on-one support?
My website is my name, jessicalfisher.com. That's the best place, because it's going to lead you anywhere else you want to go, including to my Instagram and YouTube and dog training and podcast and all the other things. So you're going to find whatever you need at jessicalfisher.com.
Amazing. That's awesome. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for this. I think this definitely is the first podcast of many, I'm thinking, because there's a lot of stuff to go through in this pet world, as you know. So thank you so much for being on today. Thank you for providing value to our audience. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, like, I just want pet parents to know that they can do more to be the best advocate for their pet that they can be.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. For our audience listening or watching today, thank you so much for choosing to spend your day with us. As always, I'm Bryce.
I'm Kinsey.
And we'll see you in the next episode.